Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rated G Radio. I'm your host, Garrett Miller, and we're live for the next hour. And, you know, one of the things that, and I'm going to introduce Trucker Patty in just a second, but one of the things that I love to do is I love to have people who are passionate about life on the show. And in recent months, we've had Patty on the show, we've had Kurgan Edward Stout, and Kurgan and I had such a great time doing what we called Super Gay Radio that we were going to do it monthly, and then a month later, he and his husband ended up moving to Colorado, so they're still getting settled in. So we're not doing Super Gay Radio this month, but with Trucker Patty tonight, maybe we can do Super Transgender Radio tonight. I don't know, so we'll ask her if that would be an appropriate title to give our episode tonight, but I'm thrilled that you're here, and I absolutely love Patty. She's a dear friend and just a great advocate and great resource for the trans community. If you want to call in and ask a question, our hotline is open tonight at 323-657-1493. We'll encourage you to call in for the next hour. You can also ping me on Facebook if you have a question you'd like to ask Patty, or the Blog Talk chat room is open. So we're going to give you many avenues to communicate, because sometimes people just want to, you know, sit back and listen to the show. They don't want to actually hear their voices on the show, or they think it's, you know, really crazy, you know, to call into a radio program. But the only crazy here is me. So with that aside, I want to bring Patty Spangler back to Rated G Radio. Patty, how are you tonight, my dear?
Hello, my darling Garrett. I am doing fabulous. I've been enjoying my garden. It's starting to produce, and I'm trying to do the whole eating healthy thing.
I love to hear that. Now, I think the most important question that I'm going to ask you tonight, I'm going to ask right at the top of the show, and then we can talk about it as much or as little as you want, but I need to know how Patty's garden grows, because I've seen some pictures on Facebook, and I love what you're doing.
Well, for me, it was sort of a necessity. I have a very, very bad back, and I had kind of given up gardening because it was just too much bending. For a while, a few years ago, I had carpenter's knee pads, and so I was trying to do things that way, but it was just getting too tough for me. And so I came up with this idea with the 50-gallon tote. And I have a bucket, and if I sit on the bucket, I can garden with the tote without having to do any bending whatsoever. And it's worked out really well for me. I've punched holes in the bottom of the totes and put in a layer of gravel for drainage. But, yeah, it's working out really well. And it's, you know, it's all about learning to do things a different way when you become disabled, as I have become, unfortunately, because I have not treated my body as kindly as I should have over the years.
Well, that'll be a topic we'll also talk about a little bit later in the show. But before we give up on the vegetable garden here, because there's pictures here on Facebook that I'm seeing, I will tell you, in where I live, I have this great courtyard that is absolutely wonderful, and it's a space that you just don't find in most places in Huntington Beach. I'm very, very lucky. But the owners of the property thought, what a cool idea if we poured concrete over the entire thing and leave, you know, like four 24-inch round spaces for, like, dirt to drain and don't do anything else. So, you know, I open up my door, and you'd think I'd go out to this lush, you know, green garden, and I would do all of this stuff. And I've got four little round pods that I, you know, actually put trees into, Patty. But one of the things that I did, just with leftover dirt and leftover stuff from, you know, where I moved from last year, is I had one of the drums like you have right here, the plastic totes, and I have some tomatoes and aloe vera growing out of it. And I thought, well, this is just kind of a crazy idea, but I will tell you, I think it's great. And so when I saw that, you know, that's how your, you know, Patty's garden is growing, I had such a kinship with you here, because it was like, oh my gosh, we're doing the same thing, and we didn't even know it.
Well, it's really great, I would think, for urban gardening, too, as long as you've got a place for where the water runs out underneath. Because, you know, whatever limited space you have, you know, you could put a couple of them in there. And,
yeah.
You know, and I've got 8 of them, and I'm managing to grow several things. And it's not all that expensive. I think the totes were like $18 or $19 a piece. And then I used some topsoil and some compost that I mixed together. And so it's really simple to do, you know, and that way you could do as little or as much as you want. I've got green beans and cucumbers and a couple kinds of squash, some green peppers, a few herbs, and and some peas.
Are you doing any tomatoes this year?
Oh, yeah, and tomatoes. I've got cherry tomatoes and early girls. In fact, I'll be able to pick 4 cherry tomatoes by Friday. I picked my first green pepper today, and I've had lettuce for a little while. It's just about done, and I'll be doing a second planting of beans. And sorry, my little fur babies are barking.
No, that's
in the
cute.
Background.
Yeah, no, you let them bark. That's terrific. So are you able to grow lettuce there, Patty, because it's a little bit cooler this time of year, and when it warms up, lettuce just doesn't grow well, or what's
right.
your experience?
And
okay.
Where I live here, you have to plant it fairly early and hope that you don't get a frost, which we didn't this year in April. And I planted the lettuce in the beginning of April, and it was kind of slow starting, but I've been munching on it here for the last few weeks, so it's worked out pretty good. And this way I can do a second planting of beans, and the beans that I already have that will probably finish at the end of August, beginning of September, then I'll have a little second crop that I should be able to harvest into October.
I love that. Now, have you grown – can I ask a tomato question?
Sure.
Here, okay, and I'm asking because I don't understand what I'm doing wrong. Now, with that said, I have some great tomatoes, but my tomato plants, everybody tells me, oh, my tomato plants just keep producing and producing and producing, but by the time my tomato plants get ready to produce, all of the lower extremities of the tomato plants have yellowed or died, like they either got attacked by something, not eaten, but, you know, like internal, and gotten sick and died, or the leaves have just, like, fallen off completely, but they're, like, yellow and yuck. And so I thought, well, boy, I'm not going to get much out of my one cherry tomato thing that grew this year. And by the way, I didn't plant seeds. This just came up out of the dirt. And I've had a fantastic bounty, but the leaves and the rest of the plants look terrible. So if you go and stand next to it, the tomato plant is probably as tall as you are, but it's only the last, you know, foot and a half that looks like it has any green on it. And below it's like stripped bare.
I think that happens of time. I had a few yellow leaves on the bottom of mine, too. I don't know. I've had some, like, one year I had a terrible problem with squash bugs. And, I'm a sort of hit or miss gardener. I'm not always real knowledgeable about the best things to do. Fortunately, I have a neighbor who's had a garden every year for the last 25 years or so, and she's been a great resource for helping me.
Well, I need somebody to grow some tomatoes around here that's next door that I can, you know, go over and harass so I can figure out what I'm doing wrong. Because it happened to me,
Garrett,
across the street, too.
Garrett, YouTube. There's got to be...
Well, that would be way too
YouTube.
Easy, Patty. Okay, yeah. Okay, you know, I do research everything, and of course, I haven't thought about using YouTube to go and figure out how to make my tomatoes not be yellow at the bottom. Anyway,
yeah.
Okay, well,
and talking about the green beans, I was very thrilled here a little while back that. Somebody who I have admired for many, many years. She was so courageous. She went and had a gastric bypass that she filmed for everybody to see. It was one of the reasons that I had enough courage to have mine done when I needed to. And we're, of course, talking about the fabulous Carney Wilson. She tweeted some really, really sweet and wonderful things about the documentary, Patty, and I tweeted her and told her I was going to freeze some of my green beans because apparently her daughter ate a green bean tonight. So I told her I'd freeze them and send some to her.
Right on. Well,
but
you
it's
know,
so
you...
wonderful to get support like that for the documentary. It's back on the festival circuit now, which is why it's not viewable at the moment. The producer-director some festivals in England and Australia, and I'm not sure where else it's been playing, and they've reached out to him. So that's why it's not readily available now, but he's got some other deals in the works. So hopefully before too long, it'll be available for people to see.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because a lot of folks remember or know you because you are kind of like this minor celebrity here, Patty, and I say minor in the best possible way because, you know, you've been a guest star on the hit show Glee on Fox, you know, but everybody knows you from the Derek and Romaine Cruise. They know you from being a caller on Sirius XM OutQ 106, or currently it's on 106. And I think that a lot of people have been inspired and really look up to you in a lot of ways, just simply for being such a brave person to stand up for transgendered rights. And I love the fact that, you know, and I want to talk about the documentary again, because we've talked about that before, but it's always a good time to refresh it. But I love the fact that you're getting recognition and, you know, you're making friends with a lot of folks in Hollywood just simply for, you know, being who you are.
Well, you know, it's not something that I would have ever thought would have happened to me. You know, as people that know about me know, I basically hid in the straight world for 25 years with nobody knowing about my past because that was basically what the psychiatrist told me I should do if I wanted to live a normal life. And, you know, living all those years with a secret, it wreaked a lot of havoc in my life. So, you know, getting the chance to do this documentary, first of all, it was a lot of fun having Bo out on the truck with me for 10 days. And, you know, just getting some information out there. I'm different in a way from, you know, most of the other transgender people that have kind of been out there and in the media, in the fact that I'm also intersex. But the other thing is that, you know, I went through my transition, you know, almost 35 years ago. And it was a bit different back then. And then dealing with the intersex issue as well, you know, kind of makes me a little unique, I think. So it's the perspective that I'm trying to bring, because people understand so little about transgender people and basically next to nothing about intersex people. And to me, knowledge is power. The more you know, the more educated you are, the more accepting you are. You know, this horrible situation that happened in Charleston is such a perfect example of, you know, when people have the wrong information, when they're misdirected, you know, things can go so horribly awry. And, you know, I figure that I was lucky enough to have some good things happen in my life. It's time for me to give back. And one of the things that we were going to talk about tonight was the questions that you know, how do you ask questions to intersex and transgender people? And, you know, I've made it a point to be an open book. You know, it's inappropriate to ask a lot of questions to people that you don't know who are transgender or intersex, but I make it a point to let people know they can ask me anything they want to. I will be as honest as I possibly can, because that's sort of what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be a strong advocate for intersex and transgender awareness, because, you know, the more people are aware, the more understanding there is, the more acceptance there will be. And, you know, in the last week alone, we've had another young transgender girl murdered, and we lost an amazing, amazing transgender veteran here in the last few days. And I mean, and so much of this happens because it's very hard for some people. They don't understand, you know, so many of the trans women that are murdered, you know, it's a situation where a lot of times a guy will find out and he didn't realize and he slips or just basically, you know, not understanding or people thinking that somebody's a freak and they want to do them in. And then in the case of, you know, the high suicide rate, there's just so much pressure. And with our transgendered vets, there's added pressure because, you know, I'm a Navy veteran. I was in the Navy for 5.5 years until they kicked me out because I wanted to be a girl. And, you know, when you're in the military, you are trained to be the best possible you can be at whatever your job is. And that carries over into your life in general. Whatever you go to do, even after the military, you have this ingrained into you that you need to be the best that you can be. And so vets put that extra added pressure on themselves. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't end well, like it did with this amazing woman. You know, she's really going to be missed.
Well, I mean, what do you know, because I know that you are very outspoken and you really do live your life as an open book. And I want to thank you for allowing people, including myself, to ask you questions that, you know, sometimes you might think, well, that really isn't appropriate. You know, one of the things that and I thought it might be fun, you know, because we've talked about, you know, there's a lot of things that you really shouldn't say to people. But, you know, a lot of times you would think, isn't this just common sense? That you wouldn't ask,
right?
That, you know, the questions, but, you know, and I was reminded today on the way home, I had, you know, the radio on and I was listening and I'm to a different show. And the host said, unless you see, you know, she's talking about women who appear to be pregnant. She says, unless you see the baby crowning and coming out of the vagina, you don't ask a woman if she's pregnant. And I went, well, that's kind of profound. And I thought, you know, that's an interesting topic of conversation because we're going to have Trucker Patty on tonight, and we're going to be talking about things never to ask a transgendered person.
Well,
so,
and it's interesting with pregnant women, too, how many people will come up and just put their hand on the pregnant woman's belly, like, you
right.
know, for some reason that it's okay to do that. And it's not. You know, there's just this amazing video that you can if you go to my Facebook page, Trucker Patty on Facebook, you'll see that I have it posted where it's 11 questions that you don't ask someone who's transgendered. It was put out by some youngsters in the UK, and it's just a really fun way to, you know, see some of the questions and kind of educate yourself. But to me, it's so much common sense. I mean, you know, people go up to a transgender person and ask them questions about their sex life and their body parts and stuff. I mean, just think about it like how would you feel if somebody that you didn't even know came up to you and said, hey, Garrett, are you a top or a bottom? Oh, and by the way, you know, how big is it?
I'd be very offended, to be quite honest. So, you know, but I think, and I'm not giving anybody free license here, Patty, but I think and you tell me if I'm wrong, but I think when we start to talk to somebody who's transgendered, we become incredibly stupid. And even if, you know, we're brilliantly smart in a lot of other ways, our smart factor just goes out the window and become the dumbest people in the world, and we just say the most inappropriate things. It's almost like Tourette's. And it's like,
well,
and I don't know why that is.
And there actually is a way to deal with that. Number one, you know, you can usually figure out by a person's reaction if you have said something inappropriate. To do is just immediately say, oh my goodness, that was not appropriate. I'm really sorry. And that works amazingly well. You know, to realize you made a mistake and own it and say sorry, and 99.9% of the people are going to be very forgiving about it. Because, you know, truthfully, while transgender and intersex people want their privacy, most of them do want understanding. But it's just certain personal things that you would never go up and ask a heterosexual or even another gay person, you know, until it was somebody that you knew, and then you would ask permission. You know, it's like I say, you know, I have made it clear to people that I'm open. But, you know, everybody is an individual. People are in different stages of transitions. You know, if you want, I can kind of go over this list a little bit.
I would think it'd be fun. And, you know, one of the things that I think would be maybe interesting, because you have a great sense of humor, Patty, is that, you know, especially if maybe we have, you know, trans people who are listening tonight, and maybe they're new to the thought of, you know, who they actually are, and they haven't really maybe heard some of the questions or heard some of the replies, but you have such a great spin on how you answer people, especially if they're asking questions that might not be necessarily appropriate. So maybe if you could play devil's advocate and, you know, tell us some of the questions, and then maybe give the listeners some ideas of, you know, maybe appropriate responses to share or ideas that they could think about for addressing the question appropriately.
Well, one of the things in that video that I thought was really cute, I believe that, you know, when that somebody had asked about, well, how do you have sex? And the trans person answered, fabulously.
Isn't that a great answer?
That's a great answer. And it's certainly an inappropriate question to ask, because, you know, everybody has sex differently. And it's just not, you know, if you use this meter, if it's a question you would not want somebody to ask you, don't ask them until you have permission to ask personal questions. You know, if you follow that guideline, you know, that will help you out in a situation. But, you know, there are really silly things like, which bathroom do you use? And the answer is, you use the bathroom for who you identify as. You know, if you identify as a woman, you use the women's bathroom. If you identify as male, you use the men's bathroom. It's just as simple as that. Another question, when did you decide to be trans? You know, it's like asking anybody, when did you decide to be a man? When did you decide to be a woman? When did you decide to be heterosexual? When did you decide to be gay? It's not something you make a decision about. It's who you are. And the other question too, where they ask this whole thing about, they don't understand, you know, how a trans woman could have a trans woman girlfriend. They got all confused about that, when that's another thing that's very simple. Gender has nothing to do with sexual preference. And it's the same thing with biologically born men and women. Who they are born biologically has absolutely nothing to do with their sexual preference. So it's the same thing in the trans world. It's a concept, a very simple concept that people try to make very complicated.
Well, and honestly, it still confuses me, but I still think, you know, sex of any kind is pretty confusing for anybody. But that's just, you know, that's me at this age. So I still don't understand it. And, you know, I think there's just so many more complexities, because people think, you know, certain things have to happen a certain way if you are a certain way. And so, you know, I think that it just is like, well, I've never thought about how, you know, this person and that person would be together, you know, so I wonder what happens. And I guess, you know, it comes just from a place of ignorance that, you know, they ask the question. But again, like you said, until you have the permission to ask personal questions, you know, you shouldn't be asking them, you know, because again, like you said, I don't want somebody coming up and saying, you know, what do you like to do? Well, it's none of your business.
And like I say, if you think of that thing's common sex, I mean, with common sense, you know, it's easier to understand. You know, very, very simple. A person's gender, your gender, has nothing to do with your sexual preference. A trans person's gender, who the gender they identify with, has absolutely nothing to do with their sexual preference. It is truly as simple as that. And if you use that guideline, you can say, oh, well, I understand why that trans man has a trans man boyfriend. He's gay. You know, it truly is as simple as that.
Well, you know, and when you break it down like that, it just makes, you know, you make it easy. Maybe you should put out like a how-to, a transgender guide for the straight community for dummies or something like that.
Yeah, there's an idea. Now, another question that I always get a lot of, because I have a set of 44 double Ds. And because I'm intersex, they're natural. I grew them all by myself. And
really?
So,
I don't think I've ever asked you that. Okay, that's cool.
I'll explain it here in a second. But the thing that's really funny about it, I cannot tell you, especially gay guys, how many gay guys have wanted to feel my boobs. And that's just another thing that happens with trans women, is it's like, oh, you used to be a guy, but now you have boobs. Oh, can I feel your boobs? I mean, how inappropriate is that? But
well,
the reason that I have them, I have a condition called Klinefelter syndrome. And basically what it is men are born with an X and a Y chromosome. Women are born with two X chromosomes. I was born with two X chromosomes, like all women, but they threw me a curveball and also gave me a Y chromosome. So while I was born with a very, very small penis, and also born sterile, I would have never had the ability to father a child. When I went through puberty, I developed breasts. And it's the reason I have no Adam's apple. You know, I haven't had a lot of the facial and body hair and different things like that. And that's what one of the manifestations of being intersex. They're just you know, like they're different definitions of fluidity of gender, you know, and how some people are more masculine and some people are more feminine. There are different manifestations of intersex, and even I'm not aware of what all of them are. I just know mostly about my situation. But, you know, and not all people that are born with my condition are transgender either. You know, so it can get a little confusing. And I understand that, and that's my whole point of why, you know, I do my best to, you know, have myself open to try and educate people as much as I can, because, you know, once people understand something, it takes them a long way to accept it.
Well, and I think that is one of the things that you make so nice about who you are, and is the fact that, you know, you just, like you keep saying, you are an open book, and you just tell everybody, you know, here's how it is. And by knowing who you are, number one, it makes you just an absolutely lovable person, but it really, I think it changes the perspective, and it opens the doors for a lot of folks to have a different appreciation for not only you, but I think the trans community in general, because you're a gold ribbon ambassador, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, why, thank you. That's really sweet. Well, back to these questions.
Oh, yes.
You know, another
Let's get the
one
questions.
Is, yeah, another one is, you know, are you sure you're just not gay? Or maybe being gay, you know, wasn't extreme enough. You want to take it a step further? And that doesn't have it. You know, we're back to the whole thing about, you know, the gender identity has nothing to do with sexual preference.
Right.
And another question is, you know, well, do you think you might ever go back to what you used to be? And that is one, to me, one of the most insulting questions, because, you know, forward to who I always was meant to be, you know, so there is no going back to what I used to be, because what I used to be wasn't who I am, if that makes
right,
sense.
Right, because you were living the life of somebody else, so I totally get it, absolutely.
And the sad thing is there have been a couple of publicized incidents in the last 20 or 30 years of a couple of people who went and had the surgery all the way and then later said that they regretted it. And that is something that almost never, ever happens. But because it did happen and it was hugely publicized, so you're talking about maybe, you know, 0.00001% of, you know, people, you know, that something like that might happen. But it's, you know, it's such an anomaly. I myself personally have ever known anybody who was transgender that ever regretted moving forward to being their authentic self. You know, I think the few people that, you know, have publicly said that they regretted it were people that didn't know who they were and, you know, were not properly evaluated and should never have moved ahead. Yet, you know, they've gotten, because there's so much more knowledge available now, the psychological resources to trans people are much more available. You know, and another one of the questions that's also extremely personal and extremely invasive is people want to know what surgical procedures have you had. And the truth is that, you know, that's private. And not all trans people want to have all of the surgery. You know, for some people, just being able to identify in the gender that they feel they are, you know, for whatever reason they have for not having any surgeries, you know, doing that is enough for them. You know, we get back to this whole concept of gender being fluid. You know, there are different degrees. And another thing, too, is surgery is incredibly expensive, much more so for trans men than it is for trans women. Plus, they have more procedures that they want to be able to go all the way. And it's something that sometimes people are never in a position to afford because, face it, many trans people have problems getting jobs. You know, if you are somebody that you know has trouble passing, you know, getting a job can be extremely difficult. And because up here until recently there weren't any programs with the Medicaid or anything like that would cover the surgery. You know, there were people that may have wanted to have it, but because they were in a situation where they never could get employment, they weren't able to have the surgery, but that does not make them any less of who they are. So, you know, asking a personal question like that, well, what procedures have you had? You know, that's the same kind of thing, you know. If you've become good friends with somebody and you're at that level where you're trading personal information with each other, it's one thing. But in a social situation, just meeting somebody, that's an incredibly invasive question to ask.
And I think that's really important to remember, you know, because again, I think it's just because it's so unique, or it hasn't been talked about, or we don't know somebody who is transgendered and until we know you, and now you're our BFF. You know, it's just one of those things that I, you know, you lose, I think, your marbles, and you just go, okay, I'm going to ask all these really inappropriate questions. Here's 11 of them. Let me start with the number one. And then you just go down the list, and you're just like, you've just lost your mind, people. You just don't do that.
Well, people's curiosity overrides their basic manners and common sense is a lot of what it is. Another one that I personally find very, very offensive, you know, as people go through their transition, it's a process. And you may not always look the most masculine or feminine, you know, whichever way you are going, as you are going through your transition. And for somebody to just, you know, make a remark about, oh, that looks like a man in a dress, or, you know, there's some girl, look at how big her boobs are and she's dressing like a guy. You know, those are just horrible, hurtful things to say to people, you know, because they're going through something incredibly difficult to begin with, and to transition to me is a very brave thing to do. And you know, and it's something that I always tell people who are thinking about transitioning, is that number one, be in a safe place. You know, you don't want to start your transition in an area where, you know, you just know that people are very ignorant. You know, I was fortunate that, you know, back in the 70s when I started mine, I was in a community in the French Quarter in New Orleans, where, you know, I was fairly well insulated. Unfortunately, in my situation, it didn't keep me from the violence, and I'm not going to go into that now. I've written about it in my blog, and that's Trucker Patty at blogspot.com. If people are interested, they can read about those dark times in my life. But, you know, it's very important that people that are thinking about transitioning, they need to be in a safe place. If you're young and if you're still dependent on your parents for, you know, your financial support and a roof over your head, you know, you need to wait until you can be out on your own if you feel like your family's not going to support you, because it's one of the reasons we have so many trans kids that are homeless and out on the street. And the suicide rate for those kids is 40% higher than it is for other kids their age.
Wow. That's what a statistic. And you make a great point about, you know, making sure that you're in a safe place, you know, because I don't really think it makes a difference if you are trans and you're living in L.A., Omaha, Seattle, Dallas, New York, or Pocatello, Idaho. You know, I think you really have to make sure that you're in the right spot to do it, and, you know, you're not going to end up, you know, facing adverse, you know, reactions either from family or friends or whatever, because you really need a good support system in place, don't you, Patty?
Yeah, and it's one of the things that it just so absolutely warms my heart with these amazing parents who are allowing their children just to be who they are. And the point about that being is, whether they are or they're not, by the time they're an adult, they will for sure know. But being able to be comfortable in their own skin as they're growing up and knowing they're loved for who they are, and that they can freely express the gender that they feel they are, is, you know, such a key to, you know, bringing up a strong and confident person. And so every time I hear one of those stories, I just want to jump up and down, and I'm the biggest cheerleader for those parents. They're just absolutely amazing parents. And another really good resource is PFLAG. They have done amazingly wonderful things with helping parents that have trans kids understand more of what their children are going through, and even their young adult children are going through it. It's just a tremendous, tremendous resource.
Hey, everybody, I want to remind you that on our show tonight, it's I call her Trucker Patty because that's just, you know, that's your nickname on the radio when you call into the other shows. But Patty Spangler is our guest. She's talking about transgender issues. If you'd like to read up on other things that Patty has written about, there's a link on the Blog Talk chat room show page tonight for you to just click, and it's going to take you to all of her posts. You can go and read up on all of them, send her comments and questions, and become a fan. You can also find her on Facebook as well. Patty, one of the things I want to talk about, we've got about 15 minutes left. I want to talk to you about something that I know that's important to you, and you've recently written about it. It's aging in the transgender community. And, you know, it's, I mean, I can think of, you know, 10 things that I'd want to know about, but what's your take on how that is maybe unique or different for people who are trans?
Well, that, for me, the biggest thing about that is there are so many that were like me. You know, they transitioned, they had their surgery, and they went and they lived their lives in, you know, what the transgender community refers to as stealth mode. And now they're at a point where they're aging and they're having health problems. And if they're like me, I was never honest with any of my doctors. You know, I avoided things like, you know, going to regular doctor visits, you know, unless it, you know, I've had back problems for years, and then I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, and none of those things have anything to do with my reproductive part. So, and there were times where I would change my general practitioner just because they were on me about going in for a pap smear. And, you know, so as the transgender people are aging, you know, they're much less likely to be honest with the healthcare professionals. And, you know, so some things that could be diagnosed, that could be treated, that might be very serious, might go untreated because they're afraid, you know, to go to the doctor. And that's always my biggest fear. And being able to, you know, find nursing home facilities and things like that that will take you.
So do you think that, you know, as perceptions of trans is changing in America, do you think that that will help elderly people as they are still living, you know, kind of in, behind closed doors a little bit in seeking medical attention? Or do you think that may help them?
Absolutely, because, you know, just like me, you know, I came to a point where I felt safe about coming back out again. And I think that the more people are accepting, the more people, you know, learn and understand. And one of the things I wanted to touch on a little bit tonight was this thing about, you know, I wrote a blog post for Huffington Post about Caitlyn Jenner. And, you know, I'm rooting for her. You know, I'm hoping that she does wonderful things for the trans community. She has publicly said that she really wants to do whatever she can to help trans youth. And, you know, I'm going to hold her to that because, you know, she's an amazing resource, you know, with the publicity. And I hope with the platform that she has that she really uses it to do good things. But one thing that I want people to understand is she is not typical for a transgender person. Her transition experience, the way that it's been publicized, is definitely not typical for most trans people. You know, most trans people don't have those kind of resources that she does, or the publicity. So, you know, as much as, you know, I'm rooting for her to be a role model to bring positivity to the transgender community, you know, I just don't want people to get confused. Well, this is how everybody transitions. You know, they do this and they go get this done and they go get that done, because usually it just doesn't work that way.
Well, and I also think, you know, it's the Hollywood story. So Caitlin has this great platform, great opportunity, and I'm sure she'll do amazing things along the way. But, you know, in true Hollywood form, you know, it's kind of like we had the Bruce Jenner interview with Diane Sawyer, and then the next thing you know, we have Caitlin on the cover of Vanity Fair. And now you see, you know, like for the recent Father's Day, Caitlin was out with the kids, and, you know, Caitlin looks like a trillion bucks. And you're like, well, holy cow, I hope I look that good at 65, you know?
That's definitely the Kardashian, you know, media machine back behind all that. And like I say, you know, more power to her. That, you know, if she can use that platform and she can do some good things for especially the trans kids, man, I am 100% in her corner. I feel that it's a tragedy that a person has to wait until they're 65 to be able to live their authentic life. And I'm not saying that she should, you know, regret anything in her life or what she's done, but I just think that it's sad. And it's happened to so many people because when they're young, when they should be able to feel safe to transition to be their authentic selves, the resources are not available, the understanding is not available, and so many trans people go off in different directions and have miserable, miserable lives until they finally get to a point where they just can't stand it, and they either kill themselves or they finally decide to make the transition. And, you know, many times they're older than they can afford to do things, but one of the problems with that is if you're not in a position like Caitlin to have the feminizing surgery and things like that, it can be much harder to pass once you have spent 40, 50, 60 years living as a man and then go mm-hmm. to transition. You can have a lot more of the appearance problems.
Well, and I think, you know, like you said, money is really an issue for, I think, most people, where for Caitlin, it's, you know, it's not an issue at all. So if Caitlin wants to go have this done or that done, Caitlin goes to do that. But the same resources are just not available for most people because of, you know, the finances involved. And it's great that you have insurance, but, you know, I don't know, what's your experience, Patty, on talking to people who, let's say they're going from, you know, male to female and they want to have feminizing surgery for their jawline or this or that or the other thing. You know, what have you heard that insurance pays for or doesn't pay for or challenges people have had?
Insurance doesn't pay for any of that. The only thing that I've heard is in some cases now, some of the insurance company will pay for the genital surgery. But as far as implants and Adam's apple shaving and face contouring and things like that, that's all considered elective cosmetic surgery. You know, they can justify the genital surgery, you know, as, you know, something that's absolutely necessary, just like the, you know, paying for hormones and things like that. I was fortunate in the sense that because I was intersex, my insurance company in 1982 paid for my genital surgery. But even that happening, you know, a few years after I had my surgery, and no insurance companies were paying anything for anybody. And, you know, that's just starting to change now, but definitely not a lot of the feminizing surgery. You know, some insurance companies will pay for the genital surgery, but the rest of it, and you're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and, you know, the very painful procedures.
Well, and I would also think that, you know, probably unless, you know, you just win the lottery or something like that, you know, you really, you know, you have to probably spend a lot of time going, okay, you know, I'm going to save up $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, whatever it is you're going to save up for. But along the way, you must have, like, maybe, did you have, like, perhaps a wish list or of things that, boy, I'd sure like to do this, but, you know, I can only pick one, so I've got to, you know, only have the one that we can have done. I can't do them all.
I was very fortunate. Because of being intersex, the only thing that I was really interested in was the genital surgery. I had breasts. I'd always had much more trouble passing as a man than I ever did passing as a woman. So, you know, I didn't need to have anything done to my face. I have no Adam's apple. So for me, you know, the genital surgery was really all I needed to be complete. So, but like I said, that was because of the XXY situation. Most trans women that I know, their wish list besides the genital surgery is breast implants, you know, a little work done on the face if they feel their face doesn't look feminine enough. And a big, big shout out to Laverne Cox. You know, she says this is the face that she was born with, and
so
this is the face that she intends to show for the rest of her life. And I just admire that woman so much.
Well, Patty, we are going to wrap up, because there's never a wrap up because we're going to have you back, but we got about 5 minutes left. What other hot topics does the trans community need to know about, or do we need to know about the trans community tonight?
Well, like I said, one of the big things, and I feel bad that that we lost to suicide. Her name was Jess, and I don't remember the last name. And you know, my friend Kristen Beck is probably shaking her head if she's listening, saying, "Patty, why weren't you more prepared?" Because this was somebody that Kristen knew very well. But you know, like always, reach out. You know, the best way to understand transgender, intersex people is to make a new friend. You know, a lot of times if you'll just make a new friend, treat them like a human being, like a person, you know, some of the things you're curious about, you know, will come along in time. You know, and there's always the internet. If you have a question, I'm sure that it's out there somewhere. You know, if you look at my blog, you know, I've talked about some of the things that I've been through. And I'm sure there are other resources out there. You know, get busy on Google and you can get some answer to your questions. But like I said, you just have to remember, you know, to think about, you know, what you're going to say before you say it. Think about how you would feel if somebody asked you something personal about your body or your body parts or the way you have sex or anything like that. How you would feel if a perfect stranger approached you, you know, almost demanding to know these things, you know, and not because they're bad people. It's just because they're curious, and like you say, they just, you know, they sort of lose their marbles for a little bit. But use some common sense, use some manners, and you know, a lot of times, you know, once you get to know a trans person, you can ask them, say, "Listen, do you mind if I ask you a personal question?" And, you know, for goodness sake, if you do say something stupid, apologize for it. You know, treat, you know, transgender people the way you would want to be treated. We're human beings. We're just like everybody else. You know, the only thing that's a little different about us was that, you know, for whatever reason, we weren't born with the right body part.
Well, and with that, I will say, I hope you will come back next month, Trucker Patty, and we can make this kind of like a regular segment. You'll be our official ambassador for the trans community. And I'd also like to say, if you're trans or have questions about it, you know, tonight we're out of time, but I'd really like to invite you to either call back, or if you are maybe a little shy, send in your questions. I won't use your name unless you want me to, and ask the questions that you would love to ask Patty. And I'm sure she'd be delighted to answer them for you. And it'd be fun to have, it'd be fun to have you on the show. We don't bite, you know, I don't bite. Patty, do you bite?
No, I don't bite. And
okay,
if somebody sends questions in early, if it's something I don't know about, I'll be happy to research it.
There we go. Well, Patty, before you go, I'm going to do my shameless plug for me for the night. I am going to play my new song, Gay Wedding, which is out on iTunes and Amazon and everywhere now. And everywhere it's playing on radio, it's a big, big hit. Playing at various Pride festivals around the country as well. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody.
It's amazing.
It's so much fun.
I'm a fan.
Oh, Patty, do you have a CD player?
I do.
Okay. Have I sent you a CD yet? Guess what? You're getting a CD. I'm putting it in the mail tomorrow.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes. I've heard it. I've listened to it, but I would love to have a CD.
Okay. And I'll autograph it for you, too, so I'll send that off.
I was going to say, and you damn well better sign it, too, baby.
Yeah, there's proof. That Garrett. I really did know him. Yeah, no, I'll be glad to do that. But on tomorrow's show, on Thursday's show, we've got Mark DePena. He goes by the nickname of Dip, and we call him the Sydney Surfer, and he's our poet from down under. He's going to be talking about winter time. It's winter in Australia right now, and he'll be reciting poetry and telling some tall tales as Dip always does. That's on Thursday's show, and on Friday we have musician and artist Troy Maturo. He actually was pigging me while the show was going and also calling, and I said, Troy, I'm on with Trucker Patty. I'll call you when the show's over at 8:02. So we're going to have Troy on, and we're just going to firm up the details. But we have his album Infinity, and it's kind of like electro pop. I don't know how to say it. It's not like club music, but it's electro pop synth type of music. Really, really cool. I've seen him perform several times, and he's a brilliant musician and artist, and I can't wait to have him on Friday for our very first time, and that will be on Thursday. For everybody who's on Chat and Spin and Westar Radio Network in the UK, thank you for listening. If you'd like to ask a question or request a guest, just send me an email at garrett@garrettmiller.com. You can also like the Rated G Radio Facebook page, and it would be a pleasure to interact with you there as well. Trucker Patty, you have a great night. We'll see you in July. And for everybody else, hang on. This is Gay Wedding, and we'll see you live on Thursday.
With this love. is love. And you crave at night for this love. And you give your all for this love. And you know you're good with this love.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.